How you begin a session of meditation often sets the stage for how the meditation will unfold. You could start by setting yourself at ease here. And you might begin by doing so in your body. Setting your body at ease. Relaxing in your body, softening. Softening in the shoulders. Softening in the area of the chest and the rib cage. Softening the belly. So maybe the belly hangs forward and down, settles in down towards the pelvic cavity. Letting the whole pelvic area settle and relax down into your cushion or your chair. Softening in your face. Perhaps letting the eyes be soft so that you're not using your eyes to look. And if you're uneasy in your body, it's okay. See if you can be easy with that. Easing up a bit. Be easy with the unease. And then see if you can set your heart at ease. Perhaps by softening, relaxing the heart center. Allowing yourself to feel maybe any tenderness in the air of your heart. Perhaps some of the emotional energy of your body, mind, can be settled or grounded in your body. And if you're uneasy in your heart with your emotions, see if you can be easy with that. Easing up the pressure, or the weight, or the contractions with it. And then see if you can set your mind at ease. Maybe your thinking mind, the wanting mind, the aversive mind, whatever the mind is for you, maybe you can soften it, relax, let the mind settle back. Settle down into its home and within. relaxing the thinking muscle. And if the mind is uneasy, that's okay. See if you can be easy with that. Ease up a little bit. And then with whatever degree of ease you have here, notice any movement of unease that moves away from ease. Or notice whatever is in your system, your experience, which does feel uneasy. And then experiment, trial and error, to hold what is uneasy gently, softly, tenderly, so it's seen and known directly, clearly, but there's no need to be for or against it, just know it. There's no requirement to give special attention to what's uneasy. If there's a sense of ease or peace or well-being as you sit here, it's often good to be aware of that. In whatever way you feel a sense of well-being or ease, peace, perhaps somewhere in the body, somewhere in the heart or the mind. And perhaps breathing through that part of you, or letting that sense of well-being support you in being aware of breathing in and breathing out. Perhaps there can be a little bit of softening in breathing, so the breathing moves towards being more at ease, breathing easily. Perhaps a light touch, being with breathing. And finally, sometimes the instructions are to direct your attention towards breathing or towards whatever is predominant. And sometimes the instructions are to receive and welcome. And sometimes it's appropriate to neither direct nor receive, but simply allow whatever is to arise. The mind doesn't have to be for or against anything, or the mind doesn't have to be involved in how you're aware. Sometimes the mind can just be. You can just be. An experience arises in awareness, just as it is. Each thing seen for the simplicity of the experience itself. Without being involved, without being for or against. Simply known, here. The Buddha had this wonderful statement that can be used as a practice statement, meaning that you can kind of keep this statement close by and maybe give it the benefit of the doubt that it's the case, and then see all the ways in which you don't believe it. See all the ways in which you want to argue against it or protest or be the only exception. And the statement is, nothing whatsoever is worth clinging to. Nothing whatsoever is worth clinging to. Of course you'll cling. Please don't be bothered by that. It's okay. Don't be troubled by it. But don't just acquiesce to it either, to your clinging. But that little statement, why is this clinging the exception? Certainly this is worthwhile clinging to. The Buddha knew me, he'd give me he'd allow me to cling to this. And then related to that statement is another statement that you could use maybe as an alternative. If it depends which one of these maybe comes most alive for you and most interesting. And that's the statement that nothing whatsoever is worth losing your ease over. Nothing whatsoever is worth losing your ease over. So of course you'll lose your ease. Don't be troubled by that. It's okay. But maybe don't acquiesce to it. Don't just kind of give into it, kind of like, of course. But maybe you can take that statement and kind of question and engage. And learn about yourself. Learn what you believe, what impulses there are, what reactions there are that seem to have authority behind him, seem to be like, this really is worth losing my ease over. And your logical mind might know that certain things are not worth losing your ease over, but you do anyway. What's going on? What can you see? What can you notice? What's going on in the present moment? It doesn't have to be a lot of analysis, but what's going on here? What's happening here? And if you can kind of begin to kind of get under the surface of this question, or begin understanding some of the ways in which you operate in relationship to these questions, then you start developing some wisdom that's portable, that you can take with you wherever you go. You can't necessarily take your calm with you everywhere you go, or your strength of your mindfulness everywhere. But maybe you can take some of that wisdom of what you're learning about ease and how you lose your ease and what you believe and clinging and how you cling and what you believe, what goes on. And slowly you might learn that it's really okay, more than okay, it's quite wonderful to cling quite a bit less than you do, to be at ease much more often than you are. And maybe over time you'll give yourself less and less exceptions to where you think it's justified to cling, justified to be uneasy. And someday maybe you'll agree with the Buddha. Nothing whatsoever is worth clinging to. Does anyone have any questions you'd like to ask in the hall?
Redirect that energy, it's, or use it, or sometimes I think about reinvesting the dividends somehow in the energy system, but I don't know.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. Practice I've done is when my mind starts wandering off in thought, is to go along with it. The image I have, again, I don't remember, siding up with a horse or saddling up with a horse. You kind of have the horse is going off, it's gotten away, and you ride your horse next to it, and you go along with it for a while. You go along with it for a while, and then you grab the harness. I don't know what you do, but then you kind of bring it back. But, you know, you kind of, anyway, so I go along with my thoughts for a little while and go with the energy, and then I kind of like feel the energy that's there. And then I kind of direct it back to being present. And so it's not jerking it back. It's just kind of like coming back. So sometimes it's possible to feel the energy or something like that distinct from the thought itself, and then tap into that energy to feed your mindfulness and presence sometimes. But I think that more interesting for me is to try to have the mindfulness be clear to what you're seeing. To see what you're seeing is great. It's you're well on your way to see what you described, and just kind of feel confident. Oh, this is the right way. Now I see this much, and now can you brighten the attention more to see more clearly? And one way to do it is you said you saw the thought arise, and if you're there early enough, once you start thinking, you can kind of remember back that it wasn't there 2 seconds ago. And that contrast between it not being there and being there gives it, is actually quite important, quite useful. It's a little easier to be not so interested or a little bit independent of the thoughts if you see it as something that wasn't there and now it's there. It's just, and then sometimes you can see it go away. It might not go away for long, but to see it pass or weaken or not be there before it comes up again. It starts being seen as more just stuff that comes and goes, and it kind of we start not being so enamored with the content. It's just stuff. And then to be kind of to brighten the attention to see how you invest, the energy, the glue, the momentum, the interest in those thoughts. The interest in the thoughts, the connection, the drive to think, is not the thoughts themselves. And so it's kind of just brighten, or open up, or get clear. And occasionally, sometimes to do that, become clear with the mindfulness, or brighten it, and see more clearly. Sometimes, especially with thinking, can be helped with a mental label, to say quietly, very softly in the mind, to acknowledge, oh, this is thinking. Thinking, very soft little whisper, because it's kind of like somehow there's a more full acknowledgement of it. And the acknowledgement of something kind of brightens the mindfulness sometimes. So those are some thoughts. Do you think they're relevant enough, or
yes?
You want to ask again, or
well, it's like so in a talk, I hear something and I think of a poem. I'll send that poem to my friend in Vermont and tell her about this. And then I look on the internet and the poet is reading at Dartmouth. And I think, well, maybe I'll go there and we can go together. So it's a...
All during the Dharma talk?
It's a connectivity. Thinking of it as creative or connective or generative or a place maybe art comes from.
Yeah.
This. So what all that you said is relevant, but it feels like a good thing.
Yes.
And yet not so helpful in the middle of Dharma talk.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things that... can be good to not be involved in because we're involved in some other activity. Eating lunch is a good idea, but don't do it during the Dharma talk. you'll miss the Dharma talk. So there has to be choices, and a wise life makes choices sometimes between good things. And yes, in practice, sometimes there's a generative, creative time phase that some people go through. A lot of ideas, a lot of creativity, and wonderful things can happen. It's part of one of the great delights of practice is to have that creativity be born and flow and all that. And it's great to tap into it outside of the practice, to use it and give space for it. Sometimes it has a chance to live in us outside of the retreat, outside of meditation. Then the pressure to engage in it during meditation becomes less because it has an outlet someplace else. And And the kind of image, if you probably heard me say that, that practice is going pretty well if you start getting that kind of, I think, you know, generative that way, in that kind of vital, happy way that you described it. So I think it's, you just think that, oh, the practice is going well, that's nice. But it's kind of like you're going in an elevator of a building, and you're trying to get to the top of the building, and the elevator opens on the third floor, and it's a nice floor. But you know, you go out, you get off on that floor, and it takes you years before you realize, you know, that you were in the elevator going up, and then you can't even find the door to the elevator anymore because it's a very interesting floor. So, you know, so it's a good thing that happened. You got to the third floor, but stay in the elevator, stay in the practice. Stay with your practice. Okay. So, thank you. So, a couple of changes, some of the things today. One is that the schedule this evening changes just a teeny bit, and that is a 7:45 sitting will be at 7:30. And so everyone, please come to that sitting, because it will change a little bit what happens there. For those of you who are expecting the usual, maybe it won't be usual. And then, so the bell ringer at 7:45, you can bring it in time for 7:30 to switch that time for you. And then if some of you maybe start thinking about getting boarding passes, and if it's relevant to get a boarding pass today, you can leave a note for the managers, and they can leave a note back about what's a good time to come to the manager's office and print out the boarding passes. So enjoy your day, and I hope that the investigation of ease helps you be more at ease, or if you're not at ease, helps you be at ease with that. Thank you.